welcome to this week's episode of the FitCast. This is episode number 188. I'm Kevin Larrabee, and again, I am by myself today. We have, as you know, if you follow John, he's traveling quite a bit, and Lee was not available for this weekend. So what we did get was a great interview with Jim Smitty Smith over from the Diesel Crew. So we're going to run that, and we're going to hold off on the listener feedback until we get everyone back and we get more on a regular schedule again. Again, the summer months are kind of nuts for everyone. It's a very busy time where I work, and I know it's equally as crazy for John right now, as he is in very different time zones than Lee and myself. So we're going to run the interview with Jim Smitty Smith, and I'm going to try to get another interview for you guys later this week. But until then, again, as always, thanks for listening. We're going to be announcing the winner of our TRX gift certificate contest next week, because, again, we're going to wait until we can put everyone's name. Like, I literally have I counted 400 different names that I have or posts that I put in a Word document. And basically what I do is I go to this website, we got a random number generator, and I have all the tweets and the Facebook stuff written out in that document. And basically I just tell it, find a random number from, it's probably going to be about 500 people by the time that we put it out. We're going to basically just pick one of those random posts. I'm going to try to track down that person. If I can't track him down, and obviously we'll announce it on the podcast, and they don't email me, we'll pick another number. So again, you got one more chance to get in on that $175 TRX gift certificate. All you got to do is either A, tweet about the podcast on your Twitter account or on Facebook, and make sure you're added me as a friend on Facebook. You can just go to facebook.com/KevinLarrabee or on Twitter at twitter.com/KevinLarrabee, just so I can see your posts. Otherwise, I won't be able to see it. I do put up a search filter on Twitter to make sure I can see all the FitCast stuff, but the Facebook stuff won't pop up for me unless I see that you're actually a friend of mine. So those are two ways to do it, and also we're tracking everyone that places a review on iTunes as well. So if you want to submit a review on iTunes, you can do that, and you'll get another chance to win. So here again, interview with Jim Smitty Smith. We talk about tons and tons of stuff. We really kind of go all over the place, and you'll tell that I was really excited to interview Smitty because there's tons of great stuff to talk about, what they're doing over in Diesel Crew that I think you're going to benefit from, whether you're a runner, whether you're a power lifter, or whether you're just someone that likes to get in the gym 2 days a week and get in some quick lifting and get the hell out of there. So I think you're going to really enjoy it. So here it is, the interview with Jim Smitty Smith, and I hope you guys have a great week. Thanks as always for listening. Right now I'm with Jim Smitty Smith of the Diesel Crew. We talked to Smitty a while back on the FitCast Insider, and it's honestly my fault we haven't had him on the FitCast. You know, if you haven't checked out any of Smitty's stuff, I really recommend you check out dieselcrew.com, acceleratedmusculardevelopment.com, combatcorestrength.com, and he's also got if you follow strength and conditioning, you've probably seen some of the awesome videos that he has up at youtube.com/SmittyDiesel. Smitty, man, it's a great pleasure to have you on the show. How you been?
Good, man. I appreciate the intro. Yeah, I got all those sites, you know, if you just want to go to dieselcrew.com, that's cool. But my YouTube channel, there's definitely, I'm looking for more subscribers. I probably have one of the most popular YouTube sites, around 7,000 subscribers now, but, you know, I'd love to get, a ton more.
Well, let's talk a little bit about what's been going on with the Diesel Crew and kind of catch everyone up about what you've been up to for the last year or two.
Oh, a ton of stuff. I've just been traveling. I've been going to seminars, and over the last couple years, been focusing more on the business aspect. We went out to California for Bedros Koulian business seminar out there, and it was pretty amazing, you know, just seeing that side of the business. I've been focused so much on the training, you know, the last 10 years that, you know, I had to, especially for the blog aspect, you know, we get so much traffic over there that I wanted to make sure that I was providing, you know, everybody with everything they needed, you know, as far as newsletters and different things. So the business aspect has really allowed me to connect better with, you know, the people going over to Diesel Crew. You know, I've been working on some products too. I actually did a collaboration with Zach Evanesh called Man of Steel. It's an actual 13-week challenge where, you know, people opt in for it. It's a download video series where you get 13 weeks of workouts and you just follow along with us while we show you how to do the exercises and different things like that. I actually just got done. It went to print. My new product with Joe DeFranco, it's an actual warm-up product where, you know, it's everything you should do before the actual workout. And I'm really proud of that one. We actually had everything professionally done, you know, the DVD. It's going to be a print book, soft cover, and get shipped out right to your house. You know, a lot of people in the industry right now are doing, you know, a lot of ebooks, and I have a bunch of ebooks, but I wanted to make sure, you know, people got a lot of value out of this product, and I'm pretty proud of it. And I got another product in the works coming up. I can't announce it yet, but it's going to be pretty cool. It's going to be with the TRX. I'm sure that you've probably talked to a bunch of people about that recently, but it's a strap device, a suspension trainer is what they call it, that you can do a lot of cool, like, body weight stuff, and it actually can be overloaded. We show a lot of variations in the upcoming product, how you can, like, overload it with, like, sandbags and kettlebells and different things. So it's kind of neat.
Very cool. Very cool. So I'm going to kind of throw a lot of different questions at you. We got some questions from the listeners. But the first one that I want to kind of start off with is I want to talk a little bit about single leg training because I like to talk with my guests about it a lot. You know, obviously Mike Boyle came out with a video a while back kind of telling people, yes, you know, or no, you should not squat anymore. Mm-hmm. You know, what's kind of your take on that, especially when, you know, you definitely have some awesome videos of some great ways to load the rear foot elevated split squat or the Bulgarian split squat. So what's your take on kind of the whole debate?
Well, we still use both. I mean, we still squat our athletes. And the thing that I think a lot of people get hung up on is, like, when they don't squat their athletes, it's just like the barbell itself. I mean, when you start, especially for elite athletes or athletes who are doing, like, in-season training, different things, and I was going to talk about this later too, but I think it goes down to the implement and it goes down to the athlete. You know, can the athlete handle, you know, loading of their spine like that? You know, do they have the hip mobility to get deep enough? Because we don't cut our squats. You know, we go full range as, you know, everyone should. But we still squat and we just switch out the bar. I mean, we don't do a lot of straight barbell squatting just because it's so hard on the shoulders. And like I said, a lot of athletes who are in season just so busted up. And it's a stressful position, you know, just for the upper body, especially, you know, the hip, shoulder mobility issue. You know, if they don't have that and they're going to deep squat, you know, it might cause a lot of issues. So we do a lot of cambered bar squats and safety squat bars. So that takes a lot of pressure off the shoulder. And we also do a lot of front squats. So we do load them bilaterally. We just change up the barbell. And we also go a lot of front squats. But like I said, it's an individual thing. Some of my athletes don't barbell squat. They might do like a double kettlebell squat. Mm-hmm. You know, it just depends, really. There's no finite answer for every athlete. I'm not going to say I'm not going to squat all my athletes, but I will say that we do less and less barbell squats, and we do more and more of specialty barbell squats. Like I said, giant camber bar and safety squat.
And this is definitely coming from someone that, I mean, you obviously work with lots of athletes and a lot of, you know, wrestling guys, you know. You definitely are seeing the benefits of doing just as much single leg work as, you know, the bilateral stuff.
Without a doubt. And you know what? I'm free to admit, and, you know, I'm not, you know, I don't feel bad to admit that I didn't do a lot of unilateral stuff probably 5-6 years ago. But, you know, more so, more and more over the last maybe 4 or 5 years, I've been doing just as much unilateral training and trying to load it in unique ways. Like you said, we do a lot of people do Bulgarian split squats. We load them with two kettlebells out front. Another way you can load it that I've never seen anybody do that we do in our training is we loop a band around their neck and we pull them forward. Okay, we pull them in the air, in the range of that compensation. A lot of guys dip forward in the Bulgarian split squat. So we'll load them forward, which forces them to sit upright. It forces them back into the good pattern. So there's tons and tons of unique ways to load unilateral leg training. You know, one-legged squats. You can hold the plate against your chest, or you can hold a kettlebell out in front of you. Different things like that. But the key is just to get them in. I mean, single leg training is amazing. Mike Robertson actually has a product out just on single leg. What is it? Single leg solution, right?
Yes, yes.
And I mean, this guy, he's on point. He knows what he's talking about. But it's not the primary lower body training. You know, it's single leg training, bilateral squats. You know, we use them hand in hand.
Well, let's talk a little bit about. You know, this is the other question I like to talk to the guests a lot about is, you know, kind of the state of the industry and where it's going. I think, you know, you're obviously seeing a lot more of the kettlebells in not only commercial, you know, gyms, but you're seeing them a lot in the collegiate strength rooms. We have, you know, at Boyle's now, we got like 60 kettlebells that we're using with our clients. We're doing at least one kettlebell exercise every single day.
Sure.
You know, what are your feelings on like the current trends of the industry and where things are going, and you know, how do you feel about it?
Are you talking like in the weight room? Are you talking online?
Totally. I'm talking super broad. I'm being super broad. So this is kind of like your platform to kind of, you know, I'm just always curious to see where people's minds are at, because this is like, obviously, you know, this is an industry that's ever evolving. I remember we first met back in like 06 at Ryan Lee's boot camp, and the industry has changed completely since then. You know, people are doing completely different things, and or even I'll do it better yet this way. You know, what do you see as like the upcoming trends? Where do you see the industry going in the next year or two?
Excuse me, I just took a drink of water. Well, where I see the especially, let's talk online first. Where I see the industry going online is moving away from ebooks. I really do, and I think that the reason is people. I mean, there's a lot of piracy out there, and not only that. I mean, once you make an ebook, you're sort of opening yourself up for all these bad things that happen. People, especially, you know, degenerates, they order the book and they refund the money immediately after they get it, and then they put it up on Pirate Bay. And I just think the coaches, not just the people not getting the value out of ebooks. I'm just saying, like from a coach's perspective, I think a lot of people are moving more toward physical products. And like I said, my new product coming out is going to be physical, because I think that people really want it in their hand. You know, they want to have that feeling they got their money's worth. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And, you know, online, like people are just throwing ebooks together like every week. And it sort of sets the trainers up as, you know, they're setting themselves up like, you know, they're an expert in this or expert in that. But when you really look, you know, behind the scenes, you know, they haven't really trained anyone. They haven't. You see a lot of these coaches out there, man. They don't even look like they train. Mm-hmm. You know, if I'll go on a rant all night about this, but I talk to my athletes about this all the time. If, you know, I'm not going to ask them to do a program that I haven't done myself. You know, I'm not going to tell you to get down and do high rep push-ups if I don't get down and do it. You know, I'm always training with my athletes, and a lot of these coaches, man, they're online and they're having these nice little sites and they're throwing up these ebooks and these bonuses and stuff, and they don't even train. You know, and that, you know, the legit people online, and it's coming back more and more, the legit people online know who the other legit people are. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And the key is to get that respect. If you have the respect of your colleagues and you have the respect of the industry, I mean, that's what it's all about. It's not about like getting all these ebooks and all these products that, you know, you really haven't tested or you haven't put your heart into. You know what I mean? Like my stuff, like my chaos manual is 800 pages. I spent 2.5 years writing it. I didn't spend like a weekend throwing together a 40-page ebook or whatever. You know what I mean? It's if you online, you're going to see a shift away from digital products to more physical stuff, because the legit coaches in the industry are tired of being taken advantage of and they want to set themselves apart. Like, okay, if we move to the weight room, where do I see the industry going? I still think the industry is moving toward like non-conventional training, because I think it's still pretty in its infancy and it's still pretty unique. Like a lot of people, man, they were just bench squatting dead for many, many years. And then it sort of went into non-conventional training with the sandbags and kettlebells. Now thick ropes and power ropes and sled dragging's coming back into fashion again. And I think that the warm-up is actually getting more and more press now, because you know people are starting to realize how important it is for setting up the rest of the workout. Mm-hmm. The other thing I think that I've seen in the industry is more assessment. Like a lot of people, like the functional movement screen, and I know Dragon Door has their own CK functional movement screen. And, you know, a lot of people were going toward, they're sort of broadening the scope of what a strength is. You know what I mean? Causing people to go back to school, to re-educate themselves and just to learn more. You know, a lot of some of the coaches out there just think they know everything. They think their program's the best. They think what they do is the best. But if you really deep dive and you look around, and I always use Cressy as an example. He's a good friend of mine. I know he's a good friend of yours. He's always reinvesting in his education. And that's the key, man, to always continue learning. Knowledge is power. And the good strength coaches out there are really they know that their program is not perfect. There's no perfect program. All programs work up to a certain point and then they stop working. So there has to be a direction for them to continue to learn. How can I make myself better? Because that transfers directly to the athlete. So you're going to see a lot more, the coaches coming out of the woodworks and just going to seminars, learning stuff, collaborating, networking, you know, calling. And I talked about – I had a seminar with Zach Evanesh the other – 2 weeks ago. It was the combat seminar. We're actually making a DVD out of it. But I talked to – all strength coaches came. And I talked to them about these are like new strength coaches. They're kind of just getting into it. Some of them own their own business. Some of them work at like a commercial facility. But I told them, if there's someone that you go to their blog, I mean, you should make a commitment to yourself to read, you know, 2-3 articles a day. Get your blogs that you go through every day. Go there, read their stuff, you know, invest in products, go to seminars and stuff. But if there's someone that you particularly like, or, you know, you read their blog all the time, call them, send them an email. Do not be afraid to connect. You have to build your network in the industry. People need to know you. And if you know, one way to do that is just call people. And a lot of these strength coaches, they were afraid. They're like, you know, I'm not calling this guy. He's too busy. You know, I don't want to – I'm not really an outgoing person. You know, I have no traffic on my blog, but I'm not going to do anything about it, you know. But I told them, you know, connect with these people. Go to seminars. Talk to them. Send them a note. And also, you know, hey, can I write a guest blog post for you? You know, stuff like that. Just be out there, you know. And I hope the industry is moving toward more networking, more collaboration, strength coaches getting together, promoting each other, helping each other. You know, I'd like to get away. Honestly, I'd like to get away from like affiliate marketing, you know, and just why not just promote? This is from my perspective. Why not just promote something that you believe in? You know, put it up on your blog. You don't need an affiliate. I mean, I have affiliate links, but, you know, I talked to Cressy about it. He's got the Optimal Shoulder Performance. And it's his new product. And I said, man, I'm just going to promote it. We're setting up like a week to promote it. And he's like, no, man, just get an affiliate link. You know, I want you to get compensated. And I understand that and I appreciate that. You know, the blog costs money to run. And, you know, all the money that I make goes back into the blog. But, you know, why not just promote people that you believe in? You know what I mean? I mean, that's just how I feel. Like just from my perspective, a lot of people are going to hit me on that. I don't care. But, you know, because I do have affiliate links, but like I said, it's not benefiting my lifestyle. It goes all back into the blog. But I just want to see just people being friends and people networking and people collaborating, because that's where, you know, people learn, the strength coaches learn how to be better and how to help the athletes better.
Yeah, I mean, you talked a little bit about education and stuff like that, and it definitely seems like, you know, more and more people are showing up to seminars, just even like the, you know, Perform Better circuit. They're already seeing in a, right now where we're supposedly in an economic decline, their attendance is going up every single year. So and, at least people are getting out there.
Yeah, exactly. And listen, if this is a tip for you coaches out there. If you're going to Perform Better, take a business card. Take some information about yourself. One tip that I heard a strength coach do, and I love it. What he did was he created a digital business card. So what he did was, let's say you go into your Gmail account and you create an email. It says, you know, my name, my address, my email address, my background, whatever. Like, make a digital e-card. So whenever you go up to, you know, a coach at a seminar, get his email address, instantly send him that draft letter. You already have it prepared. You have it in your draft folder. Forward it to him. Immediately he gets it when he gets home. He checks out his inbox. It's there. You don't have to worry about a paper business card. You don't have to worry about getting anything printed. Have your digital e-card ready. Fire it to him immediately. He'll have it when he gets home to his inbox. Do not be afraid to walk up to someone and say, hey, man, I'm a big fan of yours. Hit me with your email. Give me your email now. I'm going to send you my card, my e-card. I want to talk to you. I'd love to collaborate. Maybe I'll come by and visit your facility. You know, I just really appreciate the work that you're doing. You know, get out there. If you go to these seminars, you better be prepared. Don't just take a pen and a paper. Have your strategy ready. You want to go up to this person. You want to talk to them. And you know, just collaborate. Just talk. Network with people. Do not go to a seminar unprepared.
Now, you also mentioned assessments. Let's talk a little bit about that. How do you go about assessing your athletes and clients when they step in the door? You know, is it just like a quick and simple process, or do you take them through like a movement screen? What do you do?
Well, I haven't got certified on the functional movement screen, but we do use a lot of the various movements. If we're talking about like an initial athlete that comes in the door, I immediately, you know, just I'm watching how they walk. You know what I mean? Everything that an athlete does when he's in your presence is an assessment. Like we talked about the warm-up before, you're getting them prepared for the workout. I mean, they're doing lunges, they're doing push-ups, push-up plus, face pulls. That's all an assessment for the upcoming workout. Okay, so there's the initial assessment when they come into your facility, and there's an assessment on a day-to-day basis. That day-to-day basis is, you know, they're coming in just overtrained. You know, they're slouching forward, they're shuffling their feet. You have them do some jump rope. I mean, they're not on the balls of their feet. Everything is an assessment. Always be watching for that. And that's something that got reiterated. I went to visit Martin Rooney recently, and he walked us through one of his deloading workouts on an off day. And it was like skipping and lunging and Cossacks and sprinting and push-ups and sit-ups and stuff. But he was just the whole time cueing us on proper movement. But he also said, hey, this warm-up is an assessment. Are your athletes doing push-ups with their hips sagging? You know, are they kind of pale? You know, what's going on with them at that particular moment? Okay, because they might not be in the optimal state of recovery. You know what I mean? They might be tired from, like, a training session in the morning. I'll give you an example. Like my MMA guys. They're doing two-a-days right now because one of them has a fight in 2 weeks. And when they come into me, you know, I might have a conditioning workout written down, but that's goes out the window if the warm up assessment is just so bad. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? They're coming. They came in the other day. The guy has a cut above his eye. He's got 2 week. He has a 2 week fight. And, you know, we're all worried about, well, is this going to heal in time? All this stuff. But he was just really pale, and he's been cutting weight, and everything I had written on the sheet I just threw out. That's just part of that auto-regulation, man. You cannot adhere, to the workout that you had written down because, I mean, they're just looking terrible, you know. And that's just the day-to-day assessment. Mm-hmm. If they're coming in like fresh off the street, and I'm looking at them, I have them do like bodyweight squats. You know, I might have are their heels coming up? Are their knees shifting in? Are they leaning forward? Stuff like that, man. Overhead squats. I mean, that's going to tell me what's going on in their shoulders and upper back. lunges? You know what I mean? Are their knees kicking in? Is one side different than the other? Is their back leg crashing? You know, stuff like that. You know, a lot of the body weight stuff. We do bird dogs. You know, are they in a straight line? Is their torso shifted? Different things like that. You know, just to assess them to see where they're at. We do like passive range of motion and, you know, stretching. How do they look there? We also do, I mean, it's ever evolving. We also do like relative strength stuff. You know, how many push-ups and pull-ups and body weight squats, you know, can they do before their form breaks down? Just where are they at that current state?
You kind of brought up the fact that you look at your clients while they're training. And, I think one of the best ways to assess a client is not necessarily when they just walk in through the door sometimes, but you also see a lot more an hour into a training session when they're tired, they're fatigued, like they're in that almost like in that third quarter, fourth quarter state.
Oh, yeah.
You know, definitely. When you see things kind of falling apart. I'm guessing you see that a lot, too.
Without a doubt. And you know what? Some of that warm-up prep, you got to be talking to them. You know, how you feeling today? You got it. Because they won't verbalize it. They'll just grind through because, you know, athletes typically do that. They'll just sit there and grind through the warm-up and grind through the workout, and they won't let you know. You have to get it out of them. And the other thing you got to talk about, the day-to-day assessment, hey, what did you do today? Did you, you know, a lot of the fighters that I have, they're professional fighters, so they just sit around all day in between training sessions. You know, did you play Xbox today? Did you get enough water? What time did you go to bed last night? What did you eat? I mean, the things that they do, the 23 and a half or 23 hours outside of the gym directly impact, you know, what's going to happen in the gym that day. And you got to just be getting it out of them because they're not – a lot of the athletes aren't very verbal and they're not very forthcoming with that information.
Gotcha. Let's go on a little bit into another subject. I mean, we obviously talked a little bit about kettlebells before, but, you know, in terms of your training that you guys are doing, definitely using lots of kettlebells. I saw some cool videos where you're doing some modified – I think there were bombing swings.
Yep, they're actually a movement – that Jed and I created probably, let's see, maybe 4 years ago, 4 or 5 years ago. They're called power bombs.
Yes,
and
yes.
Basically, we're trying to enhance the adaptation of typical kettlebell swings.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so with kettlebell swings, there's a deceleration component, okay? And it's dependent upon the weight of the kettlebell typically. So one day we were training and we were like, man, we actually had a 95-pound kettlebell and we were hitting swings pretty hard. And we were like, man, how do we make this harder? You know, how do we make – we want the one component of a kettlebell swing is we want that hip extension to be really explosive, okay? And we want to make our landing mechanics more proficient. So typically when we hit a kettlebell swing, the hips unlock and they swing back. Okay, and if you take and stop that moment in time, it actually looks like the athlete is landing from a jump. And that's what we always cue you, landing from a jump. Where are your hips? Where are your hips? So we wanted to make and enhance that deceleration, make it more of a dynamic component. So we actually forced the kettlebell down into the eccentric portion of the swing. So let's say we extend the hips, the kettlebell floats up at that peak of the swing, a partner throws the kettlebell back down into between the legs. Okay, so it's almost like a reactive expression because the deceleration is so fast. Now, when the deceleration is overloaded, much like band squats and different things like that, the concentric phase becomes more dynamic and more explosive because you're loading that soft tissue. It's like a rubber band. Okay, so power bombs actually enhance, you know, that explosive hip extension, and it improves deceleration properties.
Mm-hmm. So, and another thing that you've recently had some stuff on is med ball training. My question for you would be, you know, how much med ball work are you doing in a given session, and what are some of your favorite movements to use?
Oh. Well, med balls are awesome, okay, because You have to think about it. Whenever you do any type of strength training movement, at the end range of motion, there has to be a deceleration. You know what I mean? Like for dynamic squats. Mm-hmm. Okay, any strength training movement with an implement, like dynamic squats, they're explosive, without a doubt, even with bands, without a doubt. But at the end range, on the, you know, when you lock it out, there's a deceleration component. Like if you're doing bench press, dynamic bench press, at some point you have to decelerate the bar. It'll come out of your hands, right? So med balls are a great tool because the implement is no longer held. It's released. And when you release the implement, you have the most powerful expression, okay, because there's no deceleration. You can fully extend each joint. You can release the implement. You don't have to decelerate anything. And you can become even more explosive. That's the benefit, I mean, of med ball, essentially. And lots of, and everything we do with med ball typically is released. I mean, we might do some, like, ab work or something where we're holding it the whole time, like Russian twists or whatever. But typically, the benefit is you get outside and you throw it. You throw it as hard as you can. And that's power, man. That's just full extension, full kinetic extension, and release of the implement. And, you know, the cool thing is you can use them by themselves. You know, that could be the way you warm up for your workout. But you could also use them, like, in a complex. A lot of things we do at the end or at the beginning, we do explosive throws. Okay, we go outside, we do, like, a kettlebell swing motion with the med ball, and we extend backward over our head. So, like, a triple extension backward throw. Mm-hmm. We do rotational throws against the wall. You know, we do punching drills where it's an explosive one-arm unilateral extension against the wall. I mean, we do a ton of different things. You could also do – like in our warm-up, the product with DeFranco, we use med ball slams as one of our warm-ups because we take that med ball overhead to get full extension. We slam it on the ground, and we do it rapidly. I mean, it's just activating that CNS. So you can use them by themselves. You can use them as a complex, like I said, that – because it's an explosive expression, you have this thing called post-activation potentiation. It basically means you're activating a ton of muscle fibers if you couple two different types of strength training movements. So you might do like a barbell squat, okay, which is a linear loaded strength training movement, into like med ball explosive throws overhead, which is more of a force, you know, maximum motor unit recruitment type movement. Okay, so complex training. Med balls are so versatile, man. You could do them. You could do a ton of different things with them.
Let's jump into the questions that we got from the listeners. I think there's a great question that we got from Chris, and it's again, it's one of those questions that I always love to you know, talk about and hear our guests' response to.
Sure.
And that is, are there any movements that you don't do either with your athletes or general population? For example, overhead lifting, bilateral squats, which we talked about a couple minutes ago, et cetera. Also, which kind of kettlebell swings do you prefer, hip dominant or knee dominant, and why?
Sure. Well, that's about 10 questions there. We'll hit each one. But what don't I do? We definitely do overhead hand or overhead lifting. I mean, and like I said, if there's any type of shoulder issue, impingement, inflammation, whatever, you know, we might not do that. We might switch back to some push-ups or maybe some EQI push-ups, different things to try to rehab that shoulder. If there is, you know, any type of issue with overhead lifting, we typically switch to a dumbbell neutral grip. If they can't do that, like I said, maybe a push-up. If they can't do that, then we do EQI push-ups. So there's – we find out what they can't do, and then we regress from that point. Mm-hmm. There's a progression and regression from each movement, okay? But we definitely do overhead lifting for people who can do it. We do it with a barbell. We do it with an axle. We have a Swiss bar. You know, there's all kinds of different – we do kettlebells. We do dumbbells. It just depends, you know, on what we're training that day and what the athlete can handle. But if they can do overhead lifting, we definitely regress them from there. We definitely do squats. We talked about that. As far as, like, general population – or anybody, we don't do upright rows. They're really bad for the shoulders, the internal rotation. Behind the neck pull downs, you know, we don't do those either. That's kind of like an old school thing. We always bring them out front. I mean, just just to be on the cautious side. You know, there's some people who can do behind the neck pull downs their whole life and never have an issue. You know, one person does them, you know, a set, and then their shoulder's banged up for 2 weeks, you know. So it's really dependent on the person. But I can't remember a time we've done behind the neck pull downs in a long time. Upright rows, probably one that catch a lot of people off guard is like straight bar curls. Mm-hmm. You know, we see a lot of people with bad elbows. I mean, there's so much tension on the elbows. And like I said, remember when we talked about squats, whenever you have an implement that's fixed, okay, and most implements are, you know, outside of like ropes and stuff, but where the athlete is forced into a position. Now, with barbell curls, man, we're forcing those elbows locked to the sides and our wrists are locked. There's no accommodating for someone's natural, you know, limbs and joint angles and different things like that. So, like, straight bar curls just beat up elbows without a doubt, man. If we're doing curls, we're doing with bands, we're doing with dumbbells, we're doing chin-ups, you know what I mean? So a lot of the things you see in, like, bodybuilding magazines or strength magazines – you know, you need to take a second look and see, you know, why they're doing it. They just throw, like I said before, a lot of coaches just throw down a workout without having done it themselves, you know. And if you haven't done straight bar curls in a while and you start banging out reps of those, man, you're just going to be asking for trouble in your elbows and shoulders. I mean, slumped shoulders, forward, kyphotic posture, all that stuff. There's a lot of stress there, you know. So, like, barbell movements – you have to be really careful, and you have to see where the athlete is. You know, can they handle that type of movement? I can't remember. Oh, kettlebell swings. Hip dominant, knee dominant. Well, they do two different things. You know, hip dominant, there's a hinge at the hip, and the deceleration is at the hip. Knee dominant is we really don't do that, but I have seen a lot of people do that, and that just means, like, as they move into the swing, the backward swing, they're performing sort of like a partial squat as opposed to hinging at the hip. And I can see the difference is they're decelerating at the knee and hip. You know what I mean? When you're hinging, when you're doing more of a hip dominant swing, the deceleration is on the hamstrings and glutes. When you're doing more of a knee dominant, you're throwing the quads in there as well. We typically don't do the knee dominant swing, but I'll tell you what we have been doing is a variation on the hip dominant swing. Mike Mahler actually has developed a type of swing where the kettlebell's on the outside of the legs. What you do is you move your legs inside, close together, and you perform the kettlebell swing with the bells on the outside of the legs. And we've really been liking that because it's not as restrictive for those with tight hamstrings and glutes and immobile hips, you know what I mean? And you can get a lot of explosive power in that position. So we have been experimenting with that, and we've really liked it. Probably in the last month or so, we've really been incorporating those a lot more.
Let's wrap it up talking a little bit about grip training. We got a couple questions in about grip training. So I guess my question for you would be, you know, what are some tips for improving grip strength and, you know, making sure you're not going too overboard? And, you know, how much is too much? Or I guess, you know, I'm asking you a lot of questions, but I guess, sure. Like, what, you know, a couple tips and how much is too much, you know, making sure people aren't, you know, training to improve their grip with too much frequency.
Yeah. Well, I actually I just got done with the T-Nation article with Nate, and it was about grip training. And I talked to him about – it was really funny that you bring that up because that was the whole article. But I talked to him about how the hands are sort of like the indicator for the CNS. Now, have you ever gone into the weight room and you grab the weights and they felt really cold on your hands?
Yeah.
Or you look down and your hands are like beat – like you do a set maybe in the warm-up, whatever, and you look down, your hands are just beat red. That's your body telling you, man, you're overtrained. Louis Simmons says the hands are the keys, the eyes into the CNS, and he's right. So if you're doing any type of exercise or whatever and you just feel it's cold, the metal feels cold in your hands, or, you know, your hands are really red – it might be a good time for a deload, definitely. But that's just a note up front. If you're looking to improve grip, you got to tell me. It's sort of it's hard to answer that because you got to tell me what grip you're training for. Are you training for deadlift grip, farmer's walk? Are you losing sandbag training? Are you getting fatigued? What's your sport? You know, stuff like that. There's five categories of grip when you train in isolation. There's crush, there's pinch, there's support, there's wrist postures, there's hand health. Those are the five. Those are unwavering. Now, if you pick any exercises in any of those categories, you're training your hands in isolation. What we do, we move from a point of isolation in our training when someone develops a foundation or they're rehabbing a weakness to a point of integration. That's where we start incorporating sandbag training. That's where we start incorporating thick rope training. That's when we start incorporating kettlebell training. Now, back in the day, if someone asked me, well, how do you improve, let's say, how do I improve my farmer's walk? You know, I'm losing my farmer's walk, you know, after 100 feet. You know, I used to tell them, well, you got a farmer's walk, you know, and that's how you build up strength for farmer's walk. That's true. That's very true. But what I've been finding lately in the last couple years is when you add agitation to a system, okay, there's a more motor unit recruitment, there's a higher demand on the athlete, and there's a huge acceleration in imposed adaptations. And what that means is, let's say I drop after farmer's walk. What I would do is I'd add agitation to my support grip. Now, farmer's walk is a support grip exercise. It means that the fingers are supporting the load, and that's one of the categories of grip. I love kettlebell swings because it's a support grip movement, but it's dynamic. Now, if you think about heavy deadlifts or heavy rack pulls or farmer's walk, typically the hands are static and you're just holding on for dear life, right? If you do kettlebell training, the bell is always moving. There's a deceleration in the bell as you move through the swing. There's an acceleration in the bell. The bell is moving in your hands. There's an agitation there. There's a higher demand there. So I answer a lot of questions on the lead about grip too, but like the, you know, high rep dumbbell side pulls, you know, croc rows, I'm sure everyone's seen that. He has insane amount of grip, and it's because he does a lot of dynamic work. Like he has, let me put it this way. He has an insane amount of support grip strength. Because he does a lot of heavy shrugs. He does a lot of dumbbell side pulls. Okay. And each one of those movements, they're dynamic. Okay. If you watch him do his movements, watch Croc do his lifting, they're very dynamic. So him holding on to that dynamic implement carries over big time to a support grip. Mm-hmm. So if we're talking about farmer's walk, we want to think about an exercise that trains our support grip, but does it dynamically. And kettlebell swings would be one of the ones I would recommend if someone was trying to increase not only their farmer's walk strength, but their deadlift strength, their rack pull strength, different things like that. Think about agitation. Think about adding movement into the implement. And that has a huge, like I said, a huge acceleration in the adaptations.
So let's quickly wrap up. You know, you mentioned a little before you got something cool that's coming out very soon. You just mentioned a little bit about that, and also, you know, where's the best place to check out some of your stuff if people are interested?
Sure. My new product coming out is with Joe DeFranco, and just a quick story about that. How I talked about the other strength coaches, I live it, man. Like, I had this idea for a product, and I knew Joe would be the perfect one. We did a lot of rehab videos on our YouTube pages, and I called him up. He said yes. I was down there the next weekend, and that's just my advice to you, the strength coaches. I said collaborate, network, send emails, call people, because you never know what's going to happen. And Joe was really receptive to it. He's been following my stuff. I've been following his stuff. It was a great time. And like I said, he said yes. I was down there the next week. The product is called Amped Warm Up, and what it does is it gives you a huge array of different exercises you can pick from for your warm up, and we also write up all these routines that you can use. So we have all kinds of routines like upper body warm up, lower body warm up. We have warm ups for people who hate the warm up. We have porn star warm up for extra hip mobility. We have all kinds of crazy stuff in there. But what we wanted to do is we saw a lot of products out there for warm up, but they didn't give specific routines. Okay. And a lot of the warm up stuff that we did for our athletes, we didn't find in these other products. So we wanted to make sure we put it all in there and give specific routines to help people. So that's my new product with Joe DeFranco. And I think it's going to help a ton of people. And like I said, it's going to be a physical product. Anyone who's interested in checking me out, you can go to dieselcrew.com. And like I said, smitty.diesel at YouTube. It's youtube.com/smittydiesel. And, you know, go subscribe. I have a ton of subscriptions. I want some more. I want to help more people. And I post, you know, 2 or 3 videos a week, and I've been doing a lot of collaborations, getting some guest strength coaches in there. A lot of guys who have a lot of amazing content, they have great blogs, but no one goes to their site. So I sent out a note to these guys on my newsletter. I have a large newsletter. I said, anybody who's a strength coach who wants more views, you know, send me a note. I want to feature you. I want to promote you. I want to get the word out about these guys because they're doing so much great stuff and nobody knows about them. Okay, nice. So that's it.
Very cool. And also, you know, I'll throw in one more. Don't forget to check him out on Twitter also, as well as twitter.com/JimmySmithCSCS. Check him out there as well.
Well, it's Jim Smith.
Yes, Jim Smith. My fault.
That's all right.
I was going to link anyway. So you guys can, if you don't remember any of the links or some of the stuff that we talked about in the interview, you can always obviously look at the show notes at thefitcast.com. We'll have links for everything up there. So, again, Smitty, huge pleasure to have you on the show, man. I can't wait to talk to you again down the road, and hopefully I get to see you again in person soon, man. I feel like I haven't seen you forever.
Definitely, man. Well, I'll be at the next seminar that you go to, I promise. But, Kevin, I really appreciate it. You're awesome. I really appreciate you having me on, and it's great talking to you again, bro.
Thank you, Smitty. Take care.
Later.